The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. And supplication for all saints. These words contain the sixth and last branch in the Apostles' Directory for prayer, and that is the comprehensiveness of the duty, or the persons who are to be the subject of our prayers. Supplication for all saints. But what? Would he have us pray for none but the saints? This cannot be his meaning, being so contrary to the mind of Christ, from whom Christ both bids us pray for our enemies, and is himself our pattern for it. Yea, Paul himself, 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort that prayers and supplications be made for all men, that is, all sorts of men, faithful and infidels, friends and enemies. So then saints are not here named as the only subject of our prayers, but as a sort of persons whom we are in an especial manner to carry in our prayers to God, whom, if we but remember, we shall not easily forget to pray for others also, because the saints' number is increased and taken out of the number of the wicked. In praying for Babylon, we pray for Jerusalem. The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and supplication for all saints. Chapter 18, of the public spirit that should breathe in our prayers for others. Section 1, the Christian ought to have a public spirit in prayer. This is a duty of common interest, in which others are to share with ourselves. Like the buckets that hang in our houses, which are for the use of any person whose house is on fire. The spirit of prayer is a public treasure, though laid up in some few hands. All cannot pray, therefore all should be prayed for. I say it is the saint's duty. We sin and transgress the law of prayer if we do it not. God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. 1 Samuel 12:23. Paul writes himself a debtor to his brother in this respect. We are bound to thank God always for you. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. In another place he thanks God, for he hath them remembrancy always. So sensible he was of the weight of this duty that he thanks God for giving him a heart to perform it. First, it is one end why the spirit of prayer is given us. The gifts of the Spirit are to be employed according to the mind and intent of the donor. If a man bequeaths house and land to another, but charges his estate with such a payment, he forfeits his legacy that fulfills not the will of the dead. God intends the good of others in all his gifts to particular saints. The way to lose our gift is to hoard it up and not lay it out for the end it was given. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. 1 Corinthians 12:7. How should we profit others by this gift of the Spirit, if not by praying for them? That Spirit which stirs us up to pray for ourselves will, if we quench it not, send us on the same errand for others, yea, in some cases for others before ourselves, for their spiritual good, before our own temporal, for the public good of the community, before the private good of a single person, as in Moses' case, who would not be taken off praying for Israel, to be made great upon their ruins. Indeed, that offer from God, let me alone that I make of thee a great nation, for only preparatory to try whether Moses would prefer his own stake before the peoples, and God was highly pleased with his self-denial. Secondly, the law of love imposes it as a duty upon us. We are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. The word as imports a party for kind, though not for proportion, for manner, though not for measure. I must love my neighbor as truly, though not as strongly as myself. Now, how do we show real love to ourselves if we pray not for ourselves? Our Savior expounds our love to our enemy by praying for him. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies, and pray for them that despitefully use you. We may give an alms to an enemy and not love him. It is easier to draw out our purse than to draw out our soul to the hungry, as the prophet phrases it. In prayer, we draw out our souls. If a man ever speaks or does anything sincerely, surely it is when he directs his speech to God in prayer. Therefore, God chooses this prayer for our enemies as the surest testimony of our loving them. And truly, he that wishes well only to himself may be well reckoned among the most generative of mankind. One well compares such a self-lover to the hedgehog that confines himself within his own soft down and turns out bristles to all besides. This shows the largeness of God's bountiful heart. He gives his children not only leave to ask for themselves, but for others. This is not the manner of men who count it too much boldness to beg for themselves and others also. If a poor man whom he hath got his alms should beg, where should we find the man that would bid him welcome? But behold, hear the immensity of divine goodness, who gives us leave to bring our neighbor's pitcher with his own to his door, yea, commands it, and leaves and takes it ill when we steal to prayer upon our own private errand and leave the thought of others' necessities behind us. Why shouldest thou stand in doubt whether God will supply thy own wants when he commands thee to intercede for others? Section 2. A lamentation may be taken up for the narrowness of our spirit in prayer. Some, indeed, are so far from praying for others that they have not learned to show so much mercy for themselves. Yea, live in such a state of alienation from God, wherein they cannot pray for themselves or their dearest relations. Oh, how many prayerless fathers have we that are cruel to their own flesh, husbands to the wives of their own bosom. Ask whether they love them, and they will tell you, yes, as their own souls, and you may believe them, for they serve them no worse than their own souls. A time is coming wherein they shall know that one hearty prayer found upon the file for their relations would speak more for the love they pretended towards them than all the bags of money which they fill for them. Others, if they send you a little natural affection to their own flesh and domestic relations, yet their love hath much ado to get over their own thresholds. Oh, how little do they feel their neighbors' pains, how seldom do they spread them with any real sense upon their hearts before the Lord. Oh, if their eye affects their heart with what is presented so near to them in the afflictions of their next-door neighbor, yet how few discover such a public spirit as to carry upon their hearts the misery of those that are at a further distance. Paul was affected with, yea, had a great conflict for those that had never seen his face in the flesh. Oh, what a decay is there of this public spirit! There is great complaint among men of their great losses in our last times of confusion. But I think the saints are the greatest losers, who have lost so much of their love and charity. One saith that the world was once destroyed with water, because the heat of lust had set it on fire, and that it shall be once again destroyed with fire, because of the coldness of love and charity. Love is to the soul what natural heat is to the body. It gives vigor and enables it to perform all the offices of life. But alas, how is this decayed among Christians? This was long ago foretold by our Savior, Matthew 24, verse 12. The love of many shall wax cold. And no wonder, when self-love waxes so hot. It was foretold also by the Apostle, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And what a black regiment follows this Captain Sim. If once a man makes self the whole of his aim, farewell loving of or praying for others, charity cannot dwell in so narrow a house as the self-lover's heart. Yea, it is diametrically opposed to it. Love seeketh not her own, 1 Corinthians 13:5, but to turn lamentation into exhortation. labor for the public spirit in prayer. Is there none, O man, that needs the mercy of God besides thyself? Wouldest thou have none saved in another world, nor provide for in this with thee? Now, in a remembering others, God gives thee leave thy love should begin at home. Look into thy family. Canst thou forget them a day if thou rememberest thyself? Shall a believer turn worse than an infidel? He provides for his house, but thou hast light which tells thee with all thy providing for them is nothing, except God says, Amen. When thou hast paid thy duty to them, still widen thy charity. Consider what is doing in the neighborhood. How many mayest thou there find pouring out their precious souls a drink offering to Satan in their horrid abominations? Oh, pray that God would stay their bloody hand before they have irrecoverably made away with themselves. Then take a further walk in thy meditations to view the public state of the nation. See what mercies are written with the golden pen of providence upon their forehead, and pay thy humble thanks. Observe what prognosis of judgments there are, and get into the gap before the wrath begins. Did Abraham so plead for Sodom, though himself was far enough from the danger of the storm, and not thou for thy own nation, who are likely to be taken in it if it falls in thy days, if the cloud impending be not scattered by the prayers of the faithful? Nay, let not the sea that divides thee and the other parts of the earth make thee think thou art not concerned in their happiness or misery. Let their prayers walk over the vast ocean and bring matter for thy devotions. Visit the churches of Christ abroad, yea, for the poor Indians and other ruins of mankind that lie where Adam sinned, through them with us, and carry their deplorable condition before the Lord. Section 3. Take a few quickening considerations to set thee more feelingly to this work. First, thou canst not pray in faith for thyself, if only for thyself. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples this in the form of prayer, which he gave them. When you pray, say, Our Father. Father is a word of faith and confidence. Our Father imports love and charity, two necessary graces in prayer. We live by faith, and faith works by love. No prayer can be without faith, no faith without charity. Christ sends him in the gospel from the altar to reconcile himself to his brother before he offered his gift in why, but that he might be as willing and ready to pray for his brother as for himself. If we have no charity to pray for our brother, we cannot expect welcome when we pray for ourselves. Secondly, you do not else make good the character which God gives of his children. He speaks of them as being a blessing to the persons and places round about them. Israel shall be a blessing to the land of Assyria, Isaiah 19:24. They are compared to a fountain, which is a common benefit. Now, one way within the godly are eminently servable to others is by the interest they have in God and the prevalency of their prayers with him. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, Proverbs 11:11. That is, by their fervent prayers which draw down a blessing from heaven upon it. God blesses by command. He commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Psalms 133:3. The saints bless when they pray. Numbers 6:23-24. On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Thirdly, God gives a signal testimony of his favor to his saints, prayers for others. 1. He doth great things at their request for others. How often did Moses reverse divine plagues that were executed on Egypt, even as often as Pharaoh had a heart to beg his prayers? How long did Abraham beat the market for Sodom's preservation? He brought it down to 10 righteous men. Could that wicked place have but afforded that number, it had not been turned to ashes. 2. When their prayers obtain not a mercy for a people, nothing else can help them. Therefore God, to express his peremptory resolution and irreversible decree, to punish Israel tells them, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be towards these people. Jeremiah 15:1. Thereby imitating their case desperate. If the prayers of such holy men could not prevent the fall of his wrath impeding, much less should they with their own power and policies shift it off. Indeed, when God is fully set upon a vindictive way, he takes them off from praying. Jeremiah 7:16. Pray not thou for this people, for I will not hear thee. And even in this he shows at what rate he values his people's prayers, which makes him loth they should bestow their pains in vain. Pray not thou for this people, as he had said, let them pray if they will. I can, without any regard, reject their prayers, but I am unwilling thou shouldest pray in an unacceptable time, for that which I have no mind to give. 3. When the saints' prayers bring not back with them the mercy for others, yet God is careful that his people should not have the least suspicion that they now proceed from any disrespect he hath to their persons. Therefore, sometimes he gives the thing they desire, only changes the subject. Thus, when God denied Abraham for Ishmael, he gave him abundantly for Isaac. Sometimes, again, what he denies for others, he grants for themselves. Thus, David's prayer for his enemies returned into his own bosom. Section 4. Now, in praying for others, first, may thy heart be deeply affected with their state and condition. God loves mercy better than sacrifice. To draw out our souls and giving in alms is greater charity than to draw out our purse. So in prayer be sure thy soul be poured out, or else thou art a deceiver. Thou wrongest both God and him thou prayest for. Before God prayed for Lazarus, he was troubled. Behold how he loved him, said those about him, who were witness to his groans and tears. Then thou wilt pray fervently for others, when thy heart is warmed into sympathy with them. Secondly, prefer spiritual blessings in thy prayers for others before temporal. Is it a sick friend? If health be all thou beggest for him, thou art not faithful to him. He may have that and be worse for it. Ask a Christ grace and glory for him. Then thou didst something to purpose. Surely this our Savior meant in his method for cursing the man sick of the palsy. Matthew 9:2. Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. He first brings him the news of the pardon as a mercy infinitely of more worth than life or limbs, thereby tactfully reproving his friends, who took more care to have his body healed than his soul saved. Is it the nation aim at more than deliverance from outside judgments? The carnal Jews could say, give us water that we may drink. Exodus 17:2. But thought not of their sin, to beg repentance for and pardon of it. That was the cry of the creature. But this is the voice of a saint. Thirdly, be not discouraged in your prayers for others, though an answer doth not presently overtake them. Thou prayest for a rebellious child or a carnal friend, who yet continue to be so. Take heed thou dost not presently thank them past grace, and give over the work. Samuel saw the people he prayed for mend, but slowly. Yet hear what he saith, 1 Samuel 12:23. God forbid that I should cease praying for you. I have heard of some that have been laid forth, yea, buried, before they were dead, by their own hasty friends. Be not thou thus cruel to the souls of thy relations or neighbors. Lay them not out by thy prayers, bury them not in thy thoughts, for reprobates, because thou canst not perceive any sign of spiritual life in them, though thou hast many a time stretched thy hands in prayer over them. Their souls are yet in their bodies, and it is not too much for God to breathe the life of grace in their souls. Is it for the public? Draw not in thy stock of prayer, though thou hast not so quick a return in thy trade with heaven for it as thou desirest. The father's labor is not lost if his son receives the benefit. He, maybe, dies before the ship comes home, which he set forth, but his child lives to have the gains of that enterprise. Thus, one generation sows prayers for the church, and another reaps the mercy prayed for. End of chapter 18.